We welcome you into the Gridiron Wrap right here on 760 WJR. Bill, it's been a couple weeks. So, first of all, Happy New Year's to you and your family and everyone out there in listener land. Let's start with the good. The Lions clinched their first division playoff since 1993. They're going to have their home playoff game. That's great. But last night was kind of, wasn't a great feeling after last night's game. Let's just leave it at that. The Lions lose to the Cowboys 20-19. Bill, I know you have a lot of thoughts on everything that happened with the game, and I would love to hear all of them.
Well, I think some more good to start the show. I think we should tip the hat to the Pistons as well. We were hoping to talk about a Detroit team that won yesterday. It would have been great if both the Lions and Pistons had done it, but kudos to the Pistons. I was with the Lions in 08 when we went through that dubious season, but I think just watching the last couple Piston games, and especially Cade Cunningham, that young man is special already, and I think going to be really special. You could just tell how much it hurt to keep losing and how bad he wanted to break that streak. So, happy for the Pistons, but yesterday's Lions game, for me, flashbacks of the playoff game, of course, after the 14 season. And, as everything unfolded, it was kind of fascinating in many respects, but, and then to hear Dan's Coach Campbell's explanation with respect to the referees. And I'll say this, Blake, just for our listeners, the protocol for every NFL game is to have a meeting 90 minutes before kickoff. And it's a meeting with both team representatives are there, usually from the PR staff. And then the network people are there, and officiating is also represented, as well as some individuals from the broadcasting side, which I'm working with as well. So I participate in those meetings now. But the meeting usually starts out with an exchange of the deactivations between the teams, and then the teams will give the list to the networks and any stadium personnel as well. And then there's two officials per team. It's not the head referee, okay? So then the respective PR representatives will then escort those two officials to their head coach. So I'm assuming in the case of yesterday, Amon Reynolds or one of his staff, Solomon or Greg, or Greg would have taken the two officials in to meet with Coach Campbell. And Dan's right. Any unique play, and the officiating crew members will often ask, do you have anything special for tonight? Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty routine occurrence. So if you have anything whatsoever that you want to make sure the officiating crew is ready for, it could be a unique but legal alignment on a certain play or a certain situation. But yes, and that's where the head coach will explain, okay, what we have. We may have a fake punt, a throwback pass, a double, whatever it might be. So I can imagine and expect that in last night's meeting, Coach Campbell would have explained to the two referees that were in there, two members of the officiating crew, that we'll have a fake punt. Here's what we're going to do. Here's going to be the alignment, blah, blah, blah. And if we get into a situation for a 2-point, here's what we're going to do. Now, how in depth Dan went, I don't know, but his reaction suggested that he said everything he had to say. Now,
yeah.
The one thing I don't know, and I don't know that it's been confirmed or not, but oftentimes the head coach will not only explain it to the reps in the 90-minute meeting, but when he goes out on the field, he'll grab the head referee and make sure that the head referee got the information from his crew. And even if he did, the head coach will often say, now, look, you have any questions? Here's what we're going to do. You know, repeat it again, just emphasize the uniqueness perhaps of the play and, you know, make sure he's ready for it. Now, the question, trying to be objective here, you know, the question that I think most Lion fans may have is, okay, why were there three linemen that went over to the head official? You had Penei Sewell, ultimately Taylor, and then Dan came sprinting in. And so I, knowing how remarkable and almost genius like Ben Johnson has proven to be, you know, in his short time in Detroit, I believe that was all part of the play. We want to create some uncertainty on the, you know, the defense.
Yeah, they some confusion.
They see three linemen go over to the official, and Dan Skipper goes flying in there, and he had already been, you know, eligible.
He had reported multiple times throughout the game.
During the game. Yeah. So I do believe that was by design. And it was brilliant, unless the head official got confused and saw the three of them. And who knows what ultimately transpired. There's been, you know, some reference to the 1998 coin flip game in overtime against the Steelers, where Jerome Bettis called one thing and then changed it. And ultimately, we, the Lions, got the opening kick, went right down the field. Jason Hansen kicked the field goal. And the overtime rules back then were whoever scores first, field goal or touchdown, wins the game.
Yeah.
So I got to believe more will come out about that. But, oh, my gosh, the extreme emotional swing within seconds, where every Lion fan sees that play work to perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as the execution of the actual play, and to think you've pulled off a win for the ages on the road, still have a shot for the number one seed, all the things that went along with that, only to have it, you know, ripped out of your heart because of a penalty. That's tough.
Yeah.
And you know, it's going to be interesting. I would expect there'll be some, you know, reaction, response, follow up, league level. But what the Lions cannot do, and I'm sure Dan Campbell will not allow them to do, is to feel sorry for themselves, to allow that to linger any longer than it has to, because that's the worst thing you can have. And I'm not 100% sure of this, but, you know, the Vikings are coming in next week. Yeah, we expect to win, all that stuff, right? That you can't assume anything in any team in the end. I mean, look what New Orleans goes to Tampa today. Nobody gave New Orleans a shot, right? They win.
The Cardinals
goes to Philly today.
Yes.
A cross country trip goes to Philly and beats the Eagles. The Giants almost beat the Rams today.
They after being down 21-6, right. By the way, Bill.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, any given Sunday. Like, right. The old saying is.
Yeah, you cannot assume anything. So the quicker Dan and his coaching staff can put that game behind them and mm-hmm. the players, the better it'll be for the, you know, the near future of the team, meaning next week and then into the first round of the playoffs.
I couldn't agree more. You have to move on quickly. And obviously, they're professional athletes. They know how to move on from these type of things. It's not like a high school football player or college football player that might sit on these things and hear more about it even. You know, these guys are locked in. They're professional athletes. But I agree. It's still, you know, and they're a young team. So seeing them move on from this will show that next step that, you know, everyone wants them to take. So when we come back, we'll talk more about the Lions. We'll also get into, you know, the playoff picture is kind of, we're starting to see it clearly, Bill.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that and a whole lot more. and you're listening to Gridiron Wrap right here on 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Gridiron Wrap. Hanging out on New Year's Eve with my good buddy Bill. Wouldn't have it any other way, Bill. Talking ball with you, man. So just to kind of wrap up everything we were talking about with the Lions, obviously the flag and everything, that's a huge storyline after this game. But we also can't ignore the fact that the Lions secondary has not looked great. Again, you know, CeeDee Lamb having the game of his career so far,
right,
with 227 yards and that huge long touchdown. I think that the pass rush has gotten better, Bill, but there's the secondary still is giving up these big plays. At this point in the season, is that just, do you think it is what it is, or is that something that can get fixed going into this playoff?
I think in many respects, it's about matchups because, I mean, we can look at the game just last week against the Vikings and the way they threw the ball on the secondary. And quite frankly, that last interception, if that ball was thrown properly, Justin Jefferson probably has it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
And that's the same offense that's coming in here next week. So it's not, it's hard to be strong at all three levels of a defense. It really is. But you're right. The pass rush and the back seven work in concert. So if you are getting pressure, if it's just a half a second quicker, you know, if the quarterback has just a little bit less time to throw, it makes your secondary better. So I'm sure the coaches are looking at all that. And they're going to, you know, prepare the best they can for, you know, whoever we're going to play. But the other point is, can't look ahead to the Vikings, because logically playoff seeding will come into play for the Lions, depending on how the first round goes. And secondly, you don't want to go into the playoffs with a two-game losing streak, no matter how, you know, we look at last night's game in Dallas, it still goes up as a loss.
Yeah.
So you want to get that taste out of your mouth. And, you know, I go back to an infamous game, and it was similar. It was in 2000 at the Silverdome. We go into the final game of the season playing the Bears. They're 4-11. We are 9-6. We win the game. We're in the playoffs. Nobody gave the Bears a shot at all, right? And we made some mistakes early in the game. We dropped a long touchdown pass that was right in our receiver's hands, and just some other, you know, tough mistakes, some injuries here or there. And what happens, you know, former Michigan State Spartan Paul Edinger comes on in the last second, kicks a 53-yard field goal, and knocks the Lions out of the playoffs. Now, thankfully, that cannot happen this time, but the mental and emotional toll, you know, not coming to play next week would take on the team would be significant. But again, Dan Campbell, correct me if I'm wrong, the Lions haven't lost two consecutive games all year, and it's been a while since that's happened. Yeah. So if anything should encourage Lion fans, it's the fact that Dan Campbell's he has proven he knows how to put losses, however difficult, behind the team, because next week's game is a very important game, and every player will know that and hear that repeatedly throughout the week.
Well, even going back to last year, the last game of the regular season, going into that game, the Lions already knew they were eliminated.
Right.
And Dan Campbell was able to motivate that team. Now there's a lot more on the line. There's no doubt he's going to be able to motivate that team and get them to that next level.
No question. And I'm sure Dan will use that as an example. And he'll probably also tell the players, hey, look, we didn't have anything to play for, you know, last year at Green Bay. Minnesota may not have anything to play for next Sunday at Ford Field, but they're professionals. And like we talked about earlier, all you have to do is look at the games today and know that these are professionals, and a play here or there early in the game can change the emotion of a game, the trajectory of the game, of a game, and you know, play a big role into the ultimate outcome. But I think we should all be encouraged in the sense that Dan Campbell has done a great job of turning the page. You got to turn the page. You got to have blinders on. And also, I mean, we went to Dallas, you know, the Lions go to Dallas yesterday, and the defense played as well as any team has played in AT&T Stadium, Jerry World all year. So there's some, you know, objective football positives that you can take out of that game as well.
100%. And another positive, I was talking about this with Lomas on Friday, seeing the kicking game, just, you know, two field goals, getting that going. Going into the playoffs, field goal kicking is so important, and it's always forgotten about. But these playoff games always seem to come down to, you know, two or three points, and having a kicker that you can rely on really can change your entire outlook on the game.
Not only kicking, but punting. And Jack Fox can be such a weapon to flip the field when necessary. And special teams are critically important in the playoffs, and they will be undoubtedly this year. So when you have that confidence in your special teams, when a defense has confidence, you know, in its special teams, and the offense has the same, you know, from the kick return game to the coverage units to the return units on punt, and that is huge. It creates such a mental advantage, but also a football advantage. Like I said earlier, when you have a punter like Jack Fox that can flip a field and change the whole dynamic of the game situation, that's critical for sure.
I agree 100%. I mean, special teams, it's the forgotten third of the game. And it in the playoffs, especially when all that pressure is on, there's so many games that come down to those moments.
Yeah, so, and the Rams, you know, the Rams lost the game or won a game today that the Giants lost in part because of special teams. Now, it needs some explanation. The Giants scored late to make it a one-point game, and they went for two, and they had a great two-point play called. Tyrod Taylor just threw the ball just behind the running back, Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's going to walk in, and then the Giants get the ball back, and Mason Crosby just missed like a 53-yard field goal, I think it was, to win the game at the buzzer. I mean, it was a couple feet wide. It had just enough distance. So that's the margin between winning and losing that we see every week, and undoubtedly we're going to see in the playoffs.
And Bill, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about the playoff picture. But you brought up a team, the Rams, and it's looking more and more like that's going to be the Lions' first round matchup. I mean, if the playoffs started tomorrow, that's what it would be. And I would love to get your thoughts on that, you know, Stafford coming back, everything, because I know you had a relationship with Matthew. And so we'll come back from the break. We'll talk some playoffs. We'll, you know, get the playoff picture and those potential matchups that the Lions could have, because we know that they're in. So now it's just who they're going to play. So we'll get into all that after the break. You're listening to Gridiron Wrap right here on 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Gridiron Wrap. I was liking that music, Mike, coming back from the break there. Yeah. All right. It is New Year's Eve. We're having fun. We're talking ball. The playoff picture, it's really coming pretty clear now. From today's games, we already know the one seed for the AFC and the NFC. The Niners have locked up the one seed in the NFC, and the Ravens with a dominating performance over the Dolphins today. They have locked up the one seed on the AFC. The Chiefs just finished off the Bengals, so they won their division as well today. They're pretty locked into that three seed on the AFC, and the Dolphins technically can still lose that division. That division is going to come down to next week's game between the Bills and the Dolphins. So that's going to be huge. I'm assuming that's going to be Sunday Night Football, Bill. Wouldn't you guess that?
I would think so. I mean, the philosophy going into the last weekend as far as games to get flexed are. You want games where the team that win is in and the team that, you know, there's a consequence to winning and losing for mm-hmm. both teams, a playoff consequence. So I think that makes sense.
So on the NFC side, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, the Lions still technically could get the 2 seed if Dallas loses next week.
I believe there is a absolute a route to the 2 seed,
okay,
which would be huge.
Yeah, 100%, because that would probably have you looking at either Seattle, New Orleans, or even technically, I believe Minnesota is still alive for that spot as well.
Yeah, so, the Eagles losing today benefited the Lions without question, because the Eagles would have been 12-4 with a win.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I believe they had the tiebreakers against the Lions conference wise. So the Eagles losing helps the Lions without question to stay alive for that 2 seed. Another reason why the Minnesota game is so important.
Yeah, 100%. And we still don't know what Minnesota's, you know, obviously they're playing tonight on Sunday Night Football, the Vikings and the Packers. So, you know, tonight's game is hugely important, obviously, for them to try and keep their playoff hopes alive. Because with Seattle losing today to the Steelers, that kind of throws everything up in the air. And that's what the NFL wants, obviously, at the end of the day. They want all of this to come down to the last week of the regular season. And it adds to the drama of the league. It's great.
Yeah, the winner of tonight's Minnesota-Green Bay game is going to be in a 3-way tie with Seattle and New Orleans for that final playoff spot. So with all this drama going into the final weekend for playoff berths and for playoff seeding, you're right. It's going to make for another great weekend of football.
And New Orleans is obviously now tied with Tampa for the South as well after today's game. So the South is still wide open for the NFC. In the AFC also, I mean, with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Colts and the Texans are all tied at the same record. So there's a 3-way tie in the AFC South. There's so much going on right now. And I feel like the last couple years, the playoff picture, yeah, we have some clarity right now, but there's still a lot that's really wide open in all of it.
Right. And when you can have as many teams still fighting for something this late, I mean, into January, everybody wins. And that's the beauty of it. And there's a lot of cities and a lot of fan bases out there. Like you mentioned, the AFC South with 3 teams at 9-7. Dallas and Philly at 11-5. I mean, it's wonderful. And a lot of it will affect the Lions seeding, provided that the Lions beat the Vikings next week.
Yeah, and who they could potentially play. So we kind of touched on this going into the break, but if the playoffs started tomorrow, Bill, the Lions would be playing the Rams. And like I said, I know you had a relationship with Matthew when he was here. And how do you think, first of all, fans overall would feel going into that game? And how do you think the atmosphere would be for Matthew? Do you think fans would embrace him, give him a cheer at the beginning, and then boo him later in the game? How do you feel all that would go down?
Well, it certainly would be a surreal atmosphere. And I had one of the top NFL writers from the LA Times call me a couple weeks ago, Sam Farmer, when that, you know, potential matchup started percolating, and he called just to ask me what I thought, not looking too far ahead, but it would be incredible and in a very profound and prophetic way, almost appropriate. And I think the fans that know Matthew, that knew Matthew when he was here, how could they not love him? That doesn't mean they want them to win, and that's okay. They're Lions fans first and foremost, and they should act accordingly. But I also know Matthew very well and how competitive he is. And he may just embrace the heck out of that matchup, finally getting that playoff game at Ford Field he tried to make a reality so many times during his years with the Lions. But I cannot imagine what that would be like. I can try. We all can try. The Rams are dangerous with those receivers and that running game that has come out of nowhere. And anytime you got Aaron Donald on the defensive line, you got a threat that is so unique. I mean, they got Hall of Fame players on that field, I believe, with Matthew and Donald and Cooper Kupp ultimately. And the rookie Puka set a rookie record today. So, it could be incredible, but I assure you, the Lions aren't looking ahead to that. The coaches aren't looking ahead. They're looking at Minnesota, period. But fans, mm-hmm. we can look ahead fine fans. But it would be the ultimate full circle story. Truth is stranger in fiction. And in this case, we said it before, the only true reality shows are sports. And to think 3 years ago when Matthew was traded to the Rams, that not only would he win a Super Bowl in his first year with the Rams, but, 3 short years later, he's had a great year. The Rams have had a surprising year. No one gave them a shot. Mm-hmm. They put all their chips in the middle of the table, during that 2021 season. And it was, in many respects, Super Bowl or bust. And it worked, hats off to them. And they don't win that Super Bowl without Matthew. And those playoff games, the one against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, and certainly the Super Bowl, he did his magic. Those last minute fourth quarter drives that produced wins in those games. And we saw so many of those at Ford Field when he was, slinging that ball for the Lions. So it would be remarkable. But knowing the competitor that he is, I'm not saying he wants it. I can't speak for him, but it would not surprise me at all, that he wouldn't mind finally walking out of that tunnel in a playoff game.
Now, Bill, I have to say this as a non-Lions, I'm very unbiased. Mm-hmm. If I'm a Lions fan, I'm terrified of that matchup, though, mm-hmm. because of what we talked about earlier with that secondary and what Matthew can do with those receivers, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
And I tell you what, all you have to do, and I'm sure the line coaches will do this, all you have to do is look at the game film of a couple weeks ago when the Rams went into Baltimore mm-hmm. and took that game to overtime against the best team in football as we sit here today.
Yep.
No one, I mean, with the Ravens did to Miami today. Come on. Are you kidding me? Holy crap.
And we haven't been on, but I mean, even what they did last week to Sam Fran.
Exactly. And Lamar had another 5 TD passes today. It's so effortless with that guy. So, like I said, Matthew took the Rams into Baltimore a couple weeks ago, and that probably in the last 2 months was the toughest any team played the Ravens, certainly mm-hmm. at home. So if they can do that outdoors, I think there was some weather in that game on a slower track. Now you've got, perfect conditions at Ford Field. That's one of the drawbacks of an indoor stadium. There's no advantage weather-wise to the home team like you have in Green Bay over the years, Pittsburgh, New England. But you also have the crowd and the roof. They better send some engineers to the rafters before that game and make sure, the roof's bolted down because it's going to be outrageous in Ford Field that day, no matter who the Lions play.
Yes.
It won't matter.
Yeah. I mean that I'm very excited for that atmosphere. I think it's going to put the city in a great light on a national stage. and the fans are going to be incredible no matter who they play. But if it's Matthew Stafford and the Rams, I think it's going to take it up to a whole nother notch, man. I really do.
It will, and it'll probably be the premier game of that weekend.
Oh, so I would assume that too, yeah.
It could be a primetime game. It could be Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. I mean, yeah. And like you said, the national, you know, platform that the Lions have provided for the city of Detroit is incredible. I mean, mm-hmm. and I don't think it's a stretch to say, because of where the team has come from, the underdog reality of not only the team, but the city, and how Detroit's making an incredible comeback. You know, America's team played last night, but I'm not sure it resides in Texas. I think it now resides in Michigan, and it's the Lions. And then now we're talking national platform. There's another game tomorrow night that might have a few fans around here. That's interested.
Bill, you read my mind. And I was going to say, after the break, you know, I said on Sports Wrap on Friday, this might be historically the biggest weekend for state of Michigan football.
Yeah.
Between the Lions playing on primetime in Dallas on a Saturday night, and then you have Michigan playing Alabama in the Rose Bowl on Monday night. Like, I don't think it gets any bigger than that. And Bill, I think you know pretty well, I'm a pretty big Michigan fan, so I'm very excited about this weekend's game. I'm excited about watching the other matchup too. I'm a right. huge college football junkie. But when we come back from the break, we can talk about a little Michigan football, Michigan, Alabama, and we can touch on that Texas Washington game real quick too, if you'd like. So we'll get into that right after the break. You're listening to Gridiron Wrap right here on 760 WJR. Welcome back into the Gridiron Wrap, and we are talking college football playoff now. We touched on the Lions and everything that happened last night with that. But now we have a team that's playing in the playoff for the third year in a row, and it's against Nick Saban and Alabama, the granddaddy of them all, Bill, which just makes it all that much sweeter. It's really the last year that the Rose Bowl is going to mean what it means. You know, like, there's something special about the Rose Bowl. It's something I've always romanticized. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for this matchup. And, you know, we were talking during the break about everything Michigan's gone through this season and going to the playoffs the last 2 years, and especially last year getting their heart ripped out by TCU. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this team's going to come in with a chip on his shoulder and be fighting to really prove themselves to the entire nation that they belong. And I would love to get your thoughts on this matchup though, Bill, because I'm so excited about it. I will never stop talking about it.
Well, that's what it's all about. And to be a genuine fan for any team to have this type of game to look forward to is priceless. I mean, there's nothing like it, right? And you mentioned the Rose Bowl. How fitting is that? And I've been to probably hundreds of stadiums over my time working in sports. And I was so fortunate to be with Washington, with the Redskins, when we won a Super Bowl at the Rose Bowl over Miami, the John Riggins game. Wow. And that setting gives me chills as we speak here. Because as the sun goes down and it gets dark and you see the sun setting, you see the snow-capped mountains in the background, and the PA announcer, gosh, I hope he's still doing it, was the voice of God. I mean, he had a voice that reverberated through the valley. And for that place to mean so much to Michigan historically over the years, and for them to have a chance to do something so special on that field, it's sort of like what we've said so many times. It's almost fitting. And then when you talk about all that Michigan has been through, the players, the coaches, it's remarkable. I mean, you couldn't have written that script really a couple years ago, including everything, including, you know, all the buzz and banter about Jim Harbaugh going to Minnesota or to Denver, you know, the suspensions and the issues with the sanctions and all that. But I'll tell you what, through all of that, what hits me so hard is, and it, to me, sometimes you have to take a cautionary look at it and wonder if it's sincere and genuine. But when you see the reaction of those players and the coaching staff as well, mm-hmm. to Jim Harbaugh, it's real. And it's, it's love. They have a bond that I think is impenetrable. And when you can use all those factors, all those outside forces for good, and you talk about galvanizing, I mean, iron sharpens iron, and they've had a lot of that going on the last couple of years. And I just think, I think this is their year. And in many ways, you know, playing Alabama is a perfect, you know, next chapter in the story, if you will. And mm-hmm. and yeah, Alabama's Alabama, Nick Saban, and you know, all that. But here's the thing we can't forget. Alabama was one miraculous fourth down play against Auburn from not even making the playoffs. Okay.
Yep.
That was Auburn, right? Okay. So I think they're not infallible, right? They can be beaten. They were beaten. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to realize that any team can be beaten. And in games like this, and it's at every level, the emotional reality of these games has such an impact, I believe, on the game. So if you can stay within your lane, so to speak, from an emotional standpoint, early in the game, not let anything, you know, impact you negatively, a turnover, this or that, those things are going to happen. So if you can handle, you know, that early, those challenges early, and stay strong. And I believe that all the issues Michigan has faced over the last year in particular, and a couple of years, have prepared the team for these in-game challenges. We've gone through stuff no team has gone through, losing our head coach for half the year, all the stuff, right? Mm-hmm. We weathered the storm. So bring on the wind, bring on the rain. Let's go, baby. And I think I can't wait. Like you, I can't wait for the game.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's no setting like it. And for it to be, you know, in this spot, Michigan has, you know, everything to lose. All these scenarios play out in my head. And I really do truly believe, just like you said, that this is their best chance. And this season almost feels like the last dance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just the vibe that I've gotten, especially like leading into this.
Yeah.
Like, they're all really coming together for Coach Harbaugh and for like the older guys on the team, that, you know, the Blake Corums, mm-hmm. and the Zach Zenters and everything. So the matchup is going to be incredible. I wouldn't have it any other way. The only other way I would have had it is if they were playing Washington. So it was old school Big Ten, Pac-12 for the last year of the Pac-12.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, speaking of Washington, their matchup with Texas, I'm super excited to watch. Mm-hmm. As a college football nerd, I know a lot of people haven't probably watched a whole lot of Washington football. Mm-hmm. Texas people will catch from time to time, I'm sure, because they're always in the news because they're Texas. But both of these teams, too, and I don't know how many of their games you've caught, Bill, but both of these teams are so exciting to watch. Texas has this offense that's so innovative. Washington's as well. They have three NFL receivers and an NFL quarterback on their team. So that matchup is going to be incredible. The college football playoff, I'm excited for expansion. But this year, it being these four teams, I think it's a great scenario.
I agree. I also echo your sentiments. I think Texas and Washington are exceptional football teams. And in so many previous seasons, they would be the best team in the country. Mm-hmm. But I'll also say one more thing about Michigan and its chances. football, unlike any other sport, any other team sport, any other sport, the sum of the whole is so much more important than the sum of the parts. And when you go through what Michigan has gone through, it's about your whole. It's about everybody coming together, staying tight, staying galvanized, and creating a team, the sum of which is far greater than the parts. And they have great parts, but the players have stayed for that fifth year. The players that believed they were going to be back in the Final Four of college football, they did that because of belief and because of love for their teammates, their university, their head coach, their coaching staff. So when you add those intangibles together, when you understand the importance those intangibles and that type of belief have on the game of football and performing on the field, that's why we should all be excited and, you know, charged up about the chances for the Wolverines.
Definitely. Well, Bill, we're about to wrap it up here, man. Another great Sunday. Do you have any big plans for the midnight, the ball drop?
I used to about 30 or 40 years ago there, Blake.
Man. Well, you have a great night, man. Too. Have a happy new year. And thank you so much for all your insight on all these games this weekend. I will say go blue. I hope that they pull it out tomorrow. And you've been listening to Gridiron Rap on 760 WJR.